thinking or me first mentality. We want to have a better status in life so that we might become superior of others, more superior of others, because we have this mentality of the I deserve, quote unquote, I deserve mentality more than I am responsible mentality. So we often demand the service of others, because that is what we are saying. I demand. I have this. I deserve this. So we are demanding the service of others rather than us serving them or serving one another. I don't want to sound political with this, but in the Philippine politics, and we are all, one way or the other, we are familiar with this, especially with the so-called servants of the land, those who are in position in power, right? We call them the servants of the land. Do you agree with me? Parang ayaw nyo, ha? Ayaw nyo mag-agree, ha? Because all those people who are in authority in our land, we call them, technically speaking, they are servants of the land. But they tend to always use their rights. For example, in traffic, we call this the wang-wang mentality, right? It is as if they don't have the right to be in traffic. So that's why they're always having this counterflow, etc. Because they are officials of the land, where in fact they should be serving and not being served. So that's why here in the Philippines, we want to always be in position of power, because we want people to serve us rather than us serving the people. This is the sad reality, especially here in the Philippines. But we need to change our mindset. If you call yourself a believer, a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, we need to have a change of mindset, a change of worldview when it comes to greatness. And I agree with what Rick Warren said here, that greatness is not measured by how many people serving you, but rather greatness or being superior, it is being measured by how many people you are serving. So the lesson for us today, here's the principle that I want us to learn this morning: to serve and not to be served. Can we say it together? To serve and not to be served. That's the principle that I want us to learn this morning. Let us look at what Christ said regarding this matter. Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, verses 41 to 45. May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 10, verses 41 to 45. And here's what the word of God says. When the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May God be praised for the reading of his word. Father, once again, I ask your Holy Spirit to be with us as we study your word. Help us, Lord God, to keep in mind this principle that we are here as your children, as your disciple, as a Christian. We are here to serve and not to be served. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, may he be an example for all of us, especially us who is calling him as our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah. May he become an example to us of what it means to serve and not to be served. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Our passage today will be taken from the book of Mark, and actually his whole name is John Mark. So perhaps some translation you will see John Mark. So just the same, the author of this book. Or we call it the Gospel according to Mark. And many scholars also take note that Mark was a disciple of Peter, or he was mentored by the Apostle Peter. Thus, they say that the book of Mark, Peter was his main resource, especially when it comes to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it was Peter as his primary resource. And let me show you a chart of the book of Mark. Okay, and I got this from my professor in hermeneutics, Dr. Shea. And here's the whole book of Mark. It was divided into two. The first part, it talks about his person. And then the second part, it talks about his purpose. About his person, it talks about his service. Of course, after the prologue, the coming of the introduction about Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 1, up to chapter 8, verse 26, it talks about the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 8, verse 31, up to chapter 15, it talks about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his purpose. And of course, the epilogue is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the middle part, that's the pivotal verse in Mark. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And then the apostle Peter answered him and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So that is the purpose of Mark, to introduce who Jesus is, and that he is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. He is the Son of God, and the whole book actually talks about his service and sacrifice. That is why many scholars also take note that Mark, he is presenting Jesus as the servant of God. Matthew as the king. And then Mark as the servant of God. Luke as the son of man. And then the book of John is as a son of God. So here is the main idea of the book, or the main chart of the book of Mark. Where are we in this chart? We're talking about his purpose. Chapter 10. So, and remember, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Actually, what he said is about his service, and also what talks about his sacrifice. Now, according to John Brooks of the New American Commentary, he said that Mark specifically emphasizing on the service and suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see in our chart, that's the focus, okay? Service and sacrifice. The Messiah, the God-man. He is fully human. He is fully divine. And he is the servant of the living God. And when it comes to his servant, he said, "For the Son of Man came to give his life." In verse 45, chapter 10, verse 45, he gave his life as a ransom for many. I want us to understand that when he said as a ransom, it means that he satisfied the wrath of God. We call it the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, especially if you are new, this is your first time here in GCF Nuvali, or this is your first time to attend a gathering like this, I want you to understand that there is now forgiveness in the name of Jesus because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. He appeases the wrath of God. Therefore, there is now forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Salvation, or being reconciled with God, is only possible through Jesus Christ. So if you are new this morning and you know deep inside your heart that you don't yet have a relationship with Him, how do you have a relationship with Him? It is through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, believe in Jesus and you will be saved. To believe in Him, it means to put your trust in Him, to put your confidence in Him, in Christ, and on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not put your confidence on your works, because our good works cannot save us. The Bible is clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved." It is by grace. It is not by our works. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And the means to appropriate the grace of God is through faith, through our trust. We need to put our trust, our confidence in Him. And then the Apostle Paul said, "This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." This is a free gift of God, a free offer to you, my friend. Put your trust in Him. Put your confidence in Him. This is not a result of works so that no one may boast. So my friend, this is my challenge to you this morning. Why don't you profess your faith? Because only Jesus can save you. It is only Jesus can save you. Not your works, not somebody else's work, but it's only through Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to miss this wonderful opportunity, because I do believe that this is the day that the Lord has made for your salvation. This is the day of salvation. Why don't we just bow down our heads? And my friend, I want to help you to profess your faith. If this is the cry of your heart and you want to be saved, let me just lead you in a prayer, a profession of faith, and you can repeat this after me. And I want you just to pray this with all of your heart. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge before you that I cannot save myself. It is only through your finished work, your life, your death, and your resurrection. I place my trust in you and on your finished work. Forgive me for all of my sins. I believe in you. I receive you as my God and Savior. Please start to reign in my life now and forevermore. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. And here's the promise. In John chapter 5, Jesus himself said, those who believe in me, you have crossed from death to life. That is our assurance. We must believe. The assurance is not on our good works. The assurance is based on the promise or in the promises of God. Now, for us who are already saved, if you call yourself a believer, you already profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, our series is entitled Saved to Serve. So I am challenging you, especially those of you who are already members of GCF Nuvali, for you to serve. Later after the service, there will be a sign up, and I'm praying that you will sign up as a volunteer workers of the church as we go through this entire sermon series. We are saved to serve. Now let us start by looking at the account of James and John. Remember when they asked Jesus to place them on the left and on the right, meaning to the place of greatness, to a place of prominence. And the disciples, we all know what happened to him. Let's read that in Mark chapter 10. If you have your Bibles with you, open it in Mark chapter 10. Let us just see the immediate context of our passage. In starting with verse 35, here's the narrative. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus Christ and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Can you say this to Jesus? Lord, just do this. Whatever I ask, do this. Can you honestly say that to Jesus? And here is the brothers, James and John. They told the Master, they told the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever we ask, would you please do this for us? And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. The left, in the Jewish context, the left hand and the right hand, it's a place of prominence. So in other words, it's a place of greatness. Remember, even in our context, when we say, oh, he's the right hand guy, or he's the right hand lady of that person. So meaning he has this authority, a place of authority. And that is what they're asking of Jesus. Now, in verse 41, it says there, the 10 heard all of these things and they were indignant. And here's the lesson that I want us to learn based on verse 41. That we need to alter our mindset when it comes to forgiveness. We must alter, we must change our mindset when it comes to greatness. Remember our principle, to serve and not to be served. Now, when the other disciples heard the request made by James and John, they were indignant with them. Indignant means to be angry. And why are they angry with James and John? Now, let us read the whole context, okay? In Mark chapter 9, let us see, so that we can understand why the 10 got angry when James and John just requested the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't they just request him also? Why are they angry? Here's the larger context. Look at chapter 9, starting with verse 30. When Jesus talked about his sacrifice, his imminent sacrifice, in chapter 9, verse 30, it says, they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. So he just told them about his imminent suffering. And then Mark gave a remark on that in verse 32, but they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And then look at verse 33. And they came to Capernaum when he was in the house, and he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another. These are the 12, okay, not just James and John, including the 10. They were arguing who was the greatest, who was the more superior than them all. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, and he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So they were already arguing, even before chapter 10. In chapter 9, they were arguing who among them is the greatest. The word greatest is just interesting because in the Greek word, it's megas. And that's where we get our English word mega. It means great. And the Greek word megas, it means to be superior when it comes to being important. Superior in importance. So come to think of it, Jesus just finished talking to them about his suffering. And yet, all the while, they were thinking, who is much more superior among us? Jesus just talking about his sacrifice, and here's his disciples. They were arguing, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And Jesus told them, if you want to be first, protos, it means to be most prominent, you must become last, eschatos. Eschatos means to be the least and servant of all. Servant there, it means a courier. A courier in our modern day language is the errand boy or errand girl. Messenger. He must become a errand boy or errand girl of all. A servant of all. So they were arguing. Now in chapter 10, in verse 32, Jesus again told them about his imminent suffering. And then all of a sudden, after just Jesus finished talking about his imminent suffering, here comes James and John. It is as if they were sneaky. Okay? Out of the 12, here comes the 2. Lord, would you please seat us? Inunahan ba? Kumbaga. Kaya alam natin kung ba't nagalit yung 10. They were indignant. Inunahan tayo nun ha. They were sneaky, di ba? Sabay-sabay sila nag-uusap. And then here comes the 2. Lord, would you place us on your left and on your right? They want to be superior. Now, this is also the kind of mindset. This is not only true back then during the time of the disciples. This is also true for us today. One way or the other, we are also suffering with this kind of mindset. We want to be superior, more superior than others. We don't want to be just an errand boy or errand girl of someone. We want to show people that we are much superior than them. Most of the time, we have this kind of attitude that I deserve this, I deserve that. Remember our lesson. What's our lesson? To serve and not to be served. We need to alter our mindset. Last week, Friday, Homeschool Global, which is, they used our facility. My wife is also part of Homeschool Global. They had this training here. And then I in the afternoon session, the speaker talk about a rice stalk. And then I researched on that, and here's what he said. Imitate the rice stalk. Ay, rice stalk, yung sa palay. Diba? Imitate the rice stalk. The more grains it bears, the lower it bows. Okay? The more grains, the lower it bows. So, and it's true, right? The rice stalk that has no grain, they stand above the rest than those who have grains. And we all know which is better. Is it the rice stalk that stands above or the rice stalks that bows down? Which is better? Of course, the one that bows down because it has more grains than those rice stalk that just stood tall above the rest. It may sound, it can look good on the outside, but we all know which is better, the one that's really bowing down because it has more grains. So we need to alter our mindset when it comes to greatness. And I read this from the book Entitlement Cure by Dr. John Townsend. We often say that I deserve to be treated right. I deserve to be heard. I deserve for people to recognize my contribution, to recognize that I am, my potential. Why? Because we have this feeling of superiority. Altering our mindset means instead of us thinking the quote-unquote, I deserve, we should be thinking, I am responsible. I am responsible. Dr. John Townsend said in his book that I deserve communicates I am better than them. Once you think that I deserve this, think what you're trying to say is that I am better than them. You feel that you are much more superior than others. So applying this in our life, just for husband and wife, of course this is also true for those, for the students, for the workplace, but for the sake of illustration, for the husband and wife, sometimes as a husband, this is what I always think, that I deserve for her to respect me. For the wife, I deserve for him to respect me. Once I think that way, that I deserve for her to respect me, it means that I am much more superior than her. I am much more better. That's why I am asking for requests. And instead of just thinking that I deserve, I should be thinking I am responsible. So instead of asking that I deserve this, I am responsible to stop this kind of thinking, and I should see a counselor. Perhaps it's time for me to be mentored by someone. So instead of me thinking that I deserve this, I deserve that, you should do this, you should do that, it's time for me. I am responsible for my own action. I think I need to see a counselor, a mentor, so that I should not think that I am much more better than my wife. And this is also true when it comes to your workplace, to your school. Dr. John Townsend said, We all may be unique in God's eyes, but we don't deserve a better position than anyone else because of it. Remember, we are all special in God's eyes. We are all special. Beloved, alter your thinking. Change your mindset regarding greatness or when it comes to greatness. As we alter our minds, we should become servant of all. We must become servant of all. Look at what Jesus has said in verses 42 to 44. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Here's the teaching of Jesus regarding greatness. During the first century, of course, it was given that Israel was under the Roman Empire, the Roman rule. And during that time, the leaders, the Romans, they just don't want that people know that they are the rulers, but they want them to see that they are really indeed ruling. In other words, they are flaunting their position. They want to let the people see that they are really the rulers. That is why this is what Jesus has said. They are flaunting their power. Now, look at this in verse 43. Twice the Lord mentioned the word but. This is quite interesting in Greek. That's why I want to share this to you. The first one, the Greek word is de, which acts as conjunction. And then the second one, that's the most important one because in Greek it's Allah. Okay, in our English alphabet, A-L-L-A, Allah. And it carries more weight. Okay, when you see Allah in Greek, it carries more weight. It gives a complete contrast. It puts emphasis on that. So when I read this, it should be read as, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. That's the emphasis there. Whoever wants to be great, if you want to be superior, you must become servant of all. You must become a slave of all. Not just a servant, but also a slave. At first, the word servant, it means a courier. Now here comes the second word, slave. It's doulos. Of course, doulos during that time, it's a commodity. It's an entity during that time, a slave. But it does not only mean an entity, but that word doulos, it also means a humble service. So what Jesus wants for his disciples is that they should consider that they should always give service to one another. It's not about being superior to one another, but it's about giving service to one another. Today, we call it a paradox, right? If you want to be great, then you must become a servant. If you want to get up, you must get down. It's a paradox in today's language. So, again, just like what Dr. Townsend in his book Entitlement Cure, instead of us having this I deserve mentality, we should change it to I am responsible mentality. I am so thankful to God because I have seen how the leaders of GCF Nuvali doing a humble service here in our church. They have positions. Take note of this. They have positions in different companies. They have high position in different companies. Some of them are owners of their own businesses. But you will see them doing chores, doing menial tasks here in our church. A director doing the work of a janitor. A humble service. And it really humbles me every time that I see them doing the menial tasks. Owner of businesses arranging chairs. Humble service. And one of our leaders, I will not just mention his name. Once I saw him, I think it was a Sunday early morning, he is cleaning up our glass doors. He has a high position in a company, and yet when it comes to our church, he is doing, quote-unquote, the janitorial service. Humble service. If they will think, I deserve, definitely they can. They will not do all of those things. I do believe that instead of them thinking that I deserve, they are thinking, I am responsible, because it is such a privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a privilege, and I am responsible. That's why they can do those menial tasks here in our church. That's a good mentality. It's a privilege, and it is my responsibility. Again, beloved, you and I must become a servant of all. And who is our perfect example? It's none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we must copy him. He said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I said that this is the reason because of the word for. You can replace that with because the Son of Man. That's why he is telling his disciples, hey, you need to become servant of all because I myself, that's what Jesus is trying, he is trying to say to his disciples, because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Remember again our chart? We're talking about service and sacrifice. And here it is. From the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, he came to serve and not to be served. And to give his life as a ransom for many. How did he serve us? By giving his life as a ransom for many. Meaning he appeases the wrath of God. Church, it is not about, it is not because of what we do, but it is all because of what he has done. It is all because of what Christ had done for us. Jesus came to serve. Remember who he is. And our worship leader just read this a while ago in Philippians chapter 2. Even though he is God, remember the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he took the form of a not just a man. The Apostle Paul could simply say he took the form of a man. No, but he took the form of a slave and became obedient, even death on the cross. He is our perfect example of what it means to serve. Our God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, took a form of a servant, a slave. And dying on the cross, it's not for him. That's why he said to give his life as a ransom for many. It is not for him. It is for our sins. It is for us. He served us. And who are we to be served by God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Read Colossians chapter 1 and you will see who Jesus is. The preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the Bible says, he came to serve us. Very humbling verse. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. Allow me to share this to you in closing. I'm not going to share this to you to boast about this, okay, or anything, but I'm doing this in view of what Christ had done for me. In my own little way, I should start imitating him. I should start copying our Lord Jesus Christ. When I am reflecting my transfer here in GCF Nuvali from GCF Santa Rosa, of course, I focus on service. And while I am focusing on service, there were times that I have this mentality that I think I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve that. I have that kind of mentality, and I want to be transparent with you. Okay? I deserve this. I deserve that. And in order for me to control that kind of mentality, what I am doing is that every Monday morning, I came here. This is closed. No one's using our worship auditorium and even the lobby. No one is using this place. So every Monday morning, I come here and I clean up our percolator. You know what a percolator is? Our coffee machine outside. I will clean it up, and then after cleaning it up, and then I will try to pick up some trash here in the worship auditorium and even outside and try to throw our trash. Why am I doing this? Because it reminds me that I am here. Yes, I'm a pastor. I know my main responsibility, Ephesians 4:11 to 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But I am doing those things to remind me that I am here to serve and not to be served. It's an object lesson for me. That's why every Monday I will come here and I will clean up the percolator. I could have easily, I'm the pastor here. Why will I clean up all of these things? But somehow it's a reminder for me that I am here. It's not about my position as a pastor, because even my position, it's just a privilege given by the Lord. So I am here to serve and not to be served. And my prayer, my dear brothers and sisters, that we will have this kind of principle in our life. You can apply this in your workplace, in school, in your home. Just imagine this with me. What if all of us will truly apply this in our life, this principle? We are here to serve and not to be served. We want our government to serve us, but it should start from us. Look around us. How many of us are here in GCF Nuvali? If all of us will have this kind of mentality, this principle in life, that I am here to serve you and not to be served, in your workplace, in your school, in your home, just imagine the impact that we will have in our community. That indeed, they will see that God is at work in our lives. And they will begin to ask you, why are you doing this? And it's your opportunity now to evangelize, to give the reason, well, because Jesus is my example. He came to serve and not to be served. And then you go on and tell what Christ had done for them and for you. So my prayer is that this is not just a lesson for us to agree with, just like what we learned last week. Yes, I agree with that principle. It's a good principle. We should not just agree with the principle, but rather we should put it into what? Action. And the principle is to serve and not to be served. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Indeed, Lord, this is a great reminder for all of us especially knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself came to serve and not to be served. My prayer, Lord God, is that give us that kind of heart, a servant kind of attitude, heart, Lord God, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, You said that You want us to be Christ-like. So, Father, I pray, give us a heart that is willing to serve You in GCF Nuvali, and not only, Lord God, in this church, even in our community, even in our workplace, or even in our school, even in our homes. Father, give us a humble heart, a servant kind of heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.